There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing. This darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed.
There is coming a day when there'll be no more sorrow or no more pain. Amen. And you know how one can stand here and shed tears because of such a song is because individuals have been there before. And just that blessed hope that one day's coming, we won't have to live in some of these circumstances that we live here on earth. Amen. What a day that'll be. Today I want you to turn to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament and look at chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I want to share with you this morning a wonderful, wonderful revelation that I've had this week. And I felt like you should know. I changed phones this past week and got a BlackBerry. Not the clouds are getting dark, but a storm. Amen. BlackBerry storm. Did I say that right? Got it. Well, I got one of those. And it has been rather unpredictable this week about what I was going to do or the phone was going to do. Just because we don't understand one another real well yet. But we're getting acquainted. Well, this phone is, you know, complicated. And I don't like that little book, this white with black writing on it. It starts with a D, I think it's directions. Don't like them. And so I try to navigate my way through this phone, and it's been very humbling this past week. But I found myself on several occasions this past week receiving calls and just, you know how it is, just trying to set up this phone where I like my phone to be on vibrate because I'm always in areas where it rings. Well, some of you may realize that they canceled my Amazing Grace. I thought when you bought that baby, it lasted forever, you know. I thought when you bought that ringtone, when they call you at Amazing Grace, that it was mine. And it's not. They canceled it because I didn't pay my $1.98 or whatever it was for another term. Well, then I've been able to consolidate my phones. I carry two phones, one for my job that I work, my secular job, and, of course, the church, to be able to separate them. Well, this other phone I can consolidate because I can forward my calls to this BlackBerry Storm, and there we are. And it's supposed to ring different and stuff. But either way, people are still calling me now because I never had a song for my company phone because I always answer it a little bit different, you know. I'm not those people's pastor, so I don't say Pastor Mac. Well, anyhow, it's been an adjustment, and we're working through it by God's grace. Well, I found myself several times this week with this BlackBerry. It's flat, and I got big ears. Well, when I put my ear to the phone, it'll push buttons. My ear pushing buttons. Imagine that. It's more skillful than my fingers are, you know. And so, anyhow, it's just been a trip this week. It's been interesting, but I like a good challenge, so, you know, here we are. Well, I said all that to say this. Do you ever notice whether you're using a BlackBerry or whatever flip phone or whatever it is you may have, you find yourself in situations to where you're trying to receive a call, and whether it vibrates or plays a song or whatever it may be, you find yourself moving around. You're maneuvering and almost manipulating the situation that you're in, trying to get to an area or a place to where you can hear the message loud and clear. Several times just this past week, I've realized that this BlackBerry doesn't pick up as well in my home as my other phone did. Don't have, you know, it's just out of way. So somebody called me, and I can hear fragments of what the message is. And I'm going outside on the porch. You know, I'm like, hold on a minute. And I can only imagine they're getting fragments of what I'm trying to say. And it's chaos. It's confusing for the first little while. But then I get to a place to where I can hear them, and they can hear me. And the message is loud and clear. So it's just that a way in life. Not just in telephones. It's that way in the way we live. And it's the way we live as we try to be Christians for God. And there are a couple of obstacles I want to share with you this morning that really serve as some of those tin roofs or those houses or that wooded area where the tower doesn't reach. There are a couple of obstacles that we face in our living that serve the same way as that cellular phone does. It's just not a tin roof or a wooded area or some other problem that we all face trying to receive a good, clear message. It is two things that I want to share with you this morning. One is pride, and the other one is shame. Pride and shame. Did you realize that the two are sisters? They look absolutely nothing alike, but they are sisters. They have the same parental. See, pride wants to be seen, so she puffs out her chest. Shame does not want to be seen, so shame hides. Pride tells you that you're too good for other people. Shame tells you you're not good enough. So there is an in-between area between these two obstacles that would enable us to get a clear and sound message. And what we have to do is be able to maneuver, maybe even manipulate the situation that we're in, and move out of the area of pride, which may be your tin roof, or shame that may be that wooded area where the tower is giving no signal. So we have to get somewhere in between these two obstacles, knowing and understanding today that both of them are sisters, but look absolutely nothing alike, but is the two obstacles that trip up people the most. So if it is in the Old Testament that pride goeth before the fall, then it is her sister, shame, that keeps you there after it has occurred. So how do you go? How do you live? How can you operate if we are of a prideful people? One is telling us that we're too good. It is you, inside of you, telling you that you are too good for this or for that. Therefore, you never interact and you stumble on that same obstacle time and time again. But it is shame, her other sister, that you stumble upon. Because what happens, ye sinners, when you get saved? What is the biggest problem? I am too shameful. I cannot go there. I cannot worship there. I cannot live there because of what I have done. That is shame that lays heavy upon your life, telling you you'll never be good enough, and because of the fall, the shame is keeping you grounded and you're never able to elevate your Christian life. There is a neutral ground that is in between pride and shame, because they are about as far as the east is from the west. But may I submit to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, there is ground between the eastern shore and the western shore. We just got to get there. So I, with God's help and God's leading, are going to give you four methods in which you need to look for in your life that will help you overcome the obstacles of pride or shame and be able to say this. Can you hear me now? That is the title of our message this morning. Can you hear me now? The first one is in Jonah. But before we go there, will you bow your souls with me in a moment of prayer asking God to help us? Father, thank you this morning. God, it is a privilege to be a man this morning that's able to stand in this pulpit before these wonderful people that you have created and called for a purpose. And God, will you help me this morning, God, to get out of the way and allow you to work as you so see fit. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray thee. Come, Holy Spirit, and have thine own way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The number one I want to give to you this morning, there are four methods. I'll give them to you now. The first one is tragedy. The second one is truth. The third one is test. And the fourth one is triumph. Tragedy, truth, test, and triumph. These are the four methods we'll be looking at for the next moments and how God helps us to get a better reception of the message He is speaking loud and clear. May God help us this morning as we look into God's Word. Look with me now in Jonah chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 2, Arise, God said to Jonah. He says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me, he says. But Jonah rose up, and he fled unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from, the Bible says, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind, in verse 4, into the sea, and there a mighty tempest into the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. What is happening here? We've preached here, you've taught here. But Jonah has been asked of God, go. You need to go to Nineveh and cry out against these wicked people, because they are guilty before me. Well, what does he do? Well, he heads down to Joppa. He's headed in the opposite direction, really trying to get out of the presence of the Lord because he doesn't like what he's hearing. Well, we're going about to see tragedy take place here. The Bible says now in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Stop there for a minute. Why is this necessary? Because of the ship that Jonah was on, he had been tossed from it. Because the people, the mariners, found out, they were scared to death. Because this water in this storm is raging, about to break the ship, verse 4 says. And it says that somebody on here is not in good with God. So we're going to cast lots and we're going to find out who the guilty party is. So basically they find out it's Jonah. Jonah, bye-bye. Jonah's thrown over the edge of the ship. And the sea and all the storm ceases. It's calm. Because the problem was with Jonah. So Jonah is thrown out. And so Jonah now in the sea. And God, it says here in verse 17, that He had prepared a big fish to come and swallow up Jonah. So now Jonah is in the belly of the whale. For how long, church? For 3 days. But now look with me in chapter 2 in the very first verse. But then Jonah, watch this. Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, the one he was fleeing from, his God, out of the fish belly. So from within the belly of the whale, he cries out to the Lord. And in verse 2 it said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. Amen. Friend, there are obstacles that are in our lives that God will use tragedy for you to be able to be in a position. And could you imagine, even in this case, that God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, cry against them, their wickedness. Jonah says, oh, no, 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 I'm going this way. So he goes, and he pays the penalty. There's a tragedy. He's thrown overboard. The belly of the whale, he dwells for 3 days, and he cries unto the Lord. After tragedy, he cries unto God. God, help me. God, spare me. I'm ready to do whatever it is You want me to do. But because of my obstacles, I could not hear You. And could you imagine God saying even now, can You hear me now? Obviously so. He went on to Nineveh and done what God called him to do. God will use the method of tragedy in your life if that's what it takes for you to hear what He's trying to tell you. He's speaking loud and clear. It's your obstacles that are distorting you from hearing what it is He's trying to tell you. Find that obstacle this morning. Leave that prideful perhaps, or that shameful area perhaps, and find neutral ground. Truth be known, there's plenty of it, because it's a place called grace. And it's abounding. He says, get there and get there quick. That's the only way you're going to be able to hear what I'm trying to tell you, God says. The second is truth. You will find this in Daniel chapter 3. My most probably favorite story in the Bible. Preached on it a couple of times. want to make reference to it in this second method that God uses, and it is in truth. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, in verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar is speaking, "Now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image in which I have made," he says. "Well, but if ye worship not," he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children, listen to me, teenagers. These are nothing but teenage boys who have all of their lives ahead of them, all of their popularity at stake, and they stand in the gap for God Almighty. And this king, Nebuchadnezzar, says, "Ye will fall when the music is played, and ye shall worship." And they respond in verse 16 and 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." You know, there's sometimes you need to open your mouth instead of keeping it closed. He said, "I'm not careful about how I'm going to respond to you. Don't even have to think about it. I'll tell you right here and now. We will not worship this God or this idol you have prepared." And why not? You can't tell people that without giving them a reason. Verse 17, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." Boldness. Not weak, meek. Be strong, Christian. Stand your ground. And you stand upon the authority that God has given you. Verse 21. "Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fire." They're going to the furnace anyhow. Bible says in verse 24, "But then Nebuchadnezzar," watch this, church, "but then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the fire." Why did he call them out? This verse is read first, so you're curious. Why did they come out? Because if we miss the verse that precedes this verse, then we've missed it all. Look now. It says in verse 24, "Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" The question is asked. The king is questioning himself. "They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men walking loose in the midst of the fire." Amen. The preacher gets happy. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. What just happened? This is not just a fairy tale. This is not just some story somebody dreamed up of. This is God Almighty defending and protecting His people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. The one who lives right in here. Can you hear me now? But O King Nebuchadnezzar, you read on through Scripture just following these chapters. One who did not believe. One who had to make kings and gods for himself. But when he saw the truth, it changed his life. Listen, the three Hebrew children had done told him, "We're not going to bow down. Our God, if He's able to deliver us, and He will come. But if He does not come, we will die for Him." You cannot serve God expecting for Him to always give you and always bless you. You serve God because you love Him, and that's where your loyalties lie. You don't serve God for what He can do for you. It is what you can do for Him. Serve Him with that attitude. and nothing more. God, what can I do for you? That's what I want to know. I need to hear that message today. God, you're speaking to me. I've got obstacles in my way. I need to see and hear the truth. Nebuchadnezzar saw it when he threw three men into the fiery furnace that even consumed his guards at the mouth of the furnace. And these three men who were bound up tight, restrained, could not move. Jesus Christ stepped out of glory and stepped into the midst of the fiery furnace and He set them free. And He said, the fire won't hurt you. You won't even smell like smoke, I tell you. You're with me. You stand with me, the King of glory. That is who we serve. I don't serve Him for how good He can bless my children or where I may live or what I may drive. But I serve Him because He's worthy. And there is no greater force in this world. His name is Jesus. See the truth. And I'd love to see the expression on Nebuchadnezzar's face when he stood up and walked to the furnace and said, hey, counselors, princes, hey, am I seeing what I think? Is the heat too hot that it's impairing my vision? What is this? And when he heard the truth, could you imagine Jesus from the fiery furnace? O King, can you hear me now? That's Jesus. Amen. Woo, I'm glad I'm a soldier of the cross. Amen. What battle's too tough? What army? What force of nature? There's nothing who can withstand God. Nothing. But it's amazing to me how there is one thing that He allows to do whatever they choose to do, and it is us. That's love, church. That's love. He won't make you love Him because there's no love in that. You love Him by your own free will. That's love. The third one is test. You've had tragedy. You've had truth. Now another method is test. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but I want to share with you, you know the story. Remember Peter? Simon Peter? Cephas, the rock? God's right-hand man on the 12 disciples? The fisherman who didn't have much education? I can relate to that. But he told Peter, he said, I'm going to build my church. I'm starting with you. Simon Peter. They spent years and times. Could you imagine sitting in the same room with Jesus Christ incarnate, standing there in the flesh, took upon the flesh that you and I live in just because He loved us? And you're sitting in the same room with Him. Mercy. The glory of God. You see, Peter sitting there, he spent all this time with Him, and Jesus tells him up front. He says, listen to me, Christian, because this is a big old stumbling block, okay? Pay close attention here. He tests him. But he gives him the answers up front. You ever had an open book quiz at school? I hated those because I was so busy looking for the answer, I couldn't find it. I would much rather sit close to somebody and write their answers down. No, that's wrong. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't do it once or twice. Oh Lord, confession is good for the soul, right? Whoa. I'm telling you, friends. Boy, I hope I don't have no old school teachers in here or listening to this message. Because when they see me, they say, Mac, you were such a good student. I say, oh shucks, you don't give away. Anyhow, the thing is this. He gives him the answers, says Peter. He said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows in the morning. I mean, this is a short time frame. I mean, sun's fitting to come up, you know, in a little while. And before the sun comes up, because, you know, days pass by so quick. He said, before the sun comes up, before the cock crows, he said, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. This, I'm paraphrasing. Lord, you know. I love you. I would never do that to you, God. Oh, Jesus, the one that I've spent every day with pretty well for the last 3 years, give up my fishing business pretty well. God, I'm with you. I have laid down a lot of Isaacs in my life, many fleeces. God, I'm never going to do that to you. And when he was approached on three different occasions, you know the story, he denied the one who told him he would deny. How many times? Not two, not four. He said, but I'm giving you the answers three times. You know what God does to us a lot of times? He warns us of what's coming, but we don't want to hear it. He says, let me tell you what's going to happen. You feel it down in your soul. Listen to me, church. You know this. God has given every man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, yellow, it don't make no difference. He has given you something within you that tells you when what you're doing is right or wrong. You know. I don't care if you go to church, if you're a Christian, you're a sinner, you know it. And if you're lying, you're lying to yourself. I've lived in both worlds. I know that's the truth. I'm just mad enough today to admit it. You know it's wrong. You know whether it's right. You do it anyhow. Peter was a very sound Christian man. But God, God's Son, wanted to show him. Listen, was it so much that God was trying to exploit him here? No. What is God trying to do with us so many times, people? It's not that, you know, listen, we know God is great and He is real and that we will one day die. It's just not going to be today. We know all this stuff. But what God does so many times in revealing Himself and these situations, He's trying to reveal you to you. He wants you to see who you are. See, it's oblivious. You can't see it. He's just trying to show you where you can go and where you can't go. He's trying to show you what you're capable of and what you're not capable of. He's trying to reveal you to you. That's what He's trying to do. He don't want to hurt you. He don't want no harm to befall upon you, but He just wants you to be able to see before it's too late. Who you are. That's what He wants you to see. And can you imagine when the cock crew after Peter in his guilt and shame, the sister of pride? Could you imagine when the cock crew, it was almost as if Peter heard Jesus say, can you hear me now? I told you it was coming, you didn't believe me. But when the cock crew, it gave that affirmation that God was right, Jesus saying, can you hear me now? Do you know what happened in the process of that, church? Listen, please. The obstacle of doubting God was removed when the rooster crowed. Can you see that? Can you see that obstacle that Peter could not see? He said, I will not deny you, Lord. But he went on and denied him. But when the cock crew, it wasn't just declaring that it was morning time. But he declared that, Peter, the doubt that you have within you is a stumbling block of serving me. And Peter, I just need you to see who you are for what you are. And when that was removed, he said, can you hear me now, Peter? And that's happening in this room and probably just about every case. God just wants you to see where you're at, who you are, and where you need to be. Use your obstacles not for stumbling blocks, but for stepping stones. Let's take the negative, turn it into a positive, and be optimist and not pessimist. Stop tripping over these very things that God is revealing. His light can penetrate any dark. Find it, step upon it, move to the next level, and live at the level that God has called you to live. That's what He wants you to hear this morning. Fourth and lastly, triumph. We've had tragedy, truth, test, and then the fourth method is triumph. You'll go with me in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 17. Don't let me lose you here because we're going to close out with a bang. All right? First Samuel chapter 17. And will you look with me in verse 23 to begin with? Now that you're there, as he talked with them, this is David, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, and out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So let's get this straight. Here's David. He's arrived. He's there with the Israelite army. And here is the Philistines across the way from the Israelites. And this massive giant, you know the story of Goliath, stands out. Their champion, the Philistine champion. And he stands out and he cries out and defies the armies of Israel. But something's different this time. David is there and he hears what this champion of the Philistine has to say. What the other Israelites under the command of Saul have been hearing. They're at war. But verse 24 says this, and once this champion made this speech, look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, not just some, not just a section, but all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Running! Running! From some man. He may have been 9 foot tall. And all indications he was. Some massive man coming some chant of the Philistine army. And the men of Israel who are supposed to be and are with God are running. Well, excuse me for a moment, but why in the world are they running? Do they not understand? That if God be for us, who can be against us? You know that's why God doesn't give you any protected on your armor, you know, against the adversary. That's what they say, the armor of God, because He didn't expect for you to run. He expected you to stand up and fight. With Him leading through you, not of your own. You're not supposed to run in a case like this where God has said, I will give you the victory. Stand and fight. But look on. As these men are running, I can guarantee you David is not. But look with me now in verse 44. Flip the page perhaps, verse 44. I'm going to read a few verses and I'll be done. And the Philistine said to David, now let me bring you up to speed. David has went to Saul, pretty well told Saul, say, hey Saul, listen, I'll go fight him. Listen, God's already been with me. I've already fought some big animals out in the wilderness. I'm telling you right now, the same God that was with me there, the same God is here now. See, listen, that's what happens sometimes. He went out here and, you know, killed some big bear, some big lion, and God was with him. Well, see, here, I don't care what your battle is, whether it be cancer or a common cold, God is with thee. Just because the severity or it elevates itself in the battle that you're in does not mean because it's so big that God can't do it. Because remember this, my brethren. The power that's behind you is always greater than the task ahead of you. Let me tell you that again so you don't forget it anytime soon. The power that is behind you is always greater than the task ahead of you. So why fear? He said, don't fear no man. You need to fear me. What you fear in man and obstacles for? You just need to plow right on through that. If I told you I'm with you, let us go. Let's go. What you waiting on? But I love this part. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, as David is going out against this man, come to me. This is Goliath speaking. And I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee. Write this down. Take a picture. Remember this, church. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine enemy. Watch this, church. Watch it. David's already claiming a victory before it happens. Did you see that? You know what? You know what helped him do that, Faith? He really believes that God's going to help him. Preacher's happy again. Glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Brother Mike, thank you. Hey, listen, that's it. Today, oh giant, the fowl and the beast will feed off your flesh because I didn't come here alone. God's with me. Don't you love that? But now look with me at verse 51. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Watch this. The Philistine's laying flat on the ground. Why? Because David, not with a sword and a shield, but he said with the power of God. A lot of things we're battling, right? Medicine's good. Doctors are good. Counselors are good. But there's some things you're battling with in here, and Satan's got you on a path that leads to destruction. It's just going to take you 15 years to get there and about $30,000 if you get out that easy. What I am telling you this morning as a man of God that Jesus Christ can take you where you need to be and help you overcome whatever it is. I don't care what the task is because I know what the power is. And here we are. David comes out of his sling. You know the story. Slings a rock up. But David didn't throw that rock. That rock, when it left that bag, was guided by the hand of God and placed perfectly between the eyes of the giant, sunk into his head, killed him instantly. He was dead before he ever hit the ground. That's God. David climbs upon him, the Bible says, back with me in verse 51, and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath therefore and slew him. And watch this, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw it, their champion was dead. They fled. But watch the twist here, church. This triumph was not for the Philistines. The Philistines had to flee before, look now with me, at verse 52 here, look at verse 53. And the men of, verse 52, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Stop right there. Watch this, church. We're done. Watch this. David stood in the battlefield of life. The greatest man obstacle he had ever seen in his life. And his motto and his attitude was this: will you let me go and fight against him? Where all these other Philistines, they were trained soldiers. Do you see what I'm getting at this morning? I need to give you some hope and some encouragement this morning. Listen to me. I support education. It's great. But I'm telling you, there is no educator like the Holy Spirit of God. He will give you what you need. So we live in an area of shame because we don't feel like we're good enough, and we live in an area called pride, perhaps, on the other end, saying that we're too good. And I got news for you. God didn't call us to dwell in either area. The triumph that God uses here is that He took a little young, ruddy sheep herder and took him out there and put something in him them other men did not seem to have on that day. He said, I'm going to give you the courage to serve me. It takes guts. It takes endurance, courage. All these great things. But here's the lesson. He went out and cut the head off of the Philistine, this Goliath, to show not to the Philistines that they had lost. God doesn't like loss because He sent His Son to save. God didn't want to see the Philistines lose. They didn't give Him any other alternative. If you stand in the path of God, you're going to lose. But He wanted on that day for these Israelites to saw that they were standing in a field of triumph. God had reminded them many times over. He said, I'm with thee, I'm with thee, I'm with thee. Nobody will defy the armies of Israel, for you are my people. They had lost sight of that. They had forgotten that. But when David stood over the giant's body, not to demonstrate the loss to the Philistines necessarily, but to hold the head of the giant up so the Israelites, who were hiding behind themselves, could now, what did the Bible say in verse 52? Now get up and pursue the Philistines. And God, very quietly perhaps, spoke across the battlefield that day with the giant's head in David's hand, his soon-to-be king. Israel, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So as I asked Miss Gail to go this morning, we're going to make a ready invitation. We're just going to play something. I want to ask you something this morning. What will it take? What method will have to occur in order for us to move out of the obstacles of pride and shame and live in that place called grace? You know, grace abounds, but He don't just give it to you. You have to come and receive it. Listen, I'm not just talking to the lost person. I'm talking to this church. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know what it'll take. Whether it'll be a test or triumph or tragedy or the truth. But I will say this. I stand before you today in front of this congregation, and my cry is this. Lord, whatever it takes to be more like You, that's what I'm willing to do. Are you there yet? Is the signal breaking up? Can you hear me now? Will you stand with me? God spoke to your heart this morning. Will you come? Right now, don't tarry. Just step out from where you are. Come on. God spoke to your heart this morning. Preacher, there's just something there. God's challenged my heart today. I want to come and pray about it. I'm ready to go to work for God. Preacher, I'm going to come pray for you because I know you need prayer. We're in uncharted territory, and preacher, I know you have to go by the decision making that God gives you. Church, I need your help. I need your prayer. Maybe you've never met Jesus before. Won't you come on and hear the message that He has loud and clear for the rest of your living? Will you come right now? One's made a move. Will you come? Who will be next? Just want to pray? Hey, whatever it may be this morning. Preacher, I just got this. I just want to come pray about it. This altar's open to you. Come on. God, help us today to find that neutral ground. God, I want to live a life that's in grace and ministers grace. That's what I need, God. God, I've been stumbling a lot lately. I've been catching myself, been slipping up, been using a lot of bad words. Boy, I've been angry. You know that ain't right. You know there was something that told you the minute you done it, it wasn't right. Come be pure. Don't try to live in your own self-righteousness. You can't do that. Only God the Father can give you His sacrifice, His Son, and you live in His righteousness. Come on. Who's been paying more attention to that task ahead of them and have forgotten about the power behind them? Is it you? Won't you come? Perhaps this morning we owe God an apology. God, I'm sorry. Will you come? Those are praying here this morning. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Listen, you're not worried about who's down here, but you're praying for who's down here. Amen? I need you to do that this morning because I need you to pray for me, pray for these people, pray for one another. There is always one who is lurking, wanting to consume us. But I'm so glad to know on this day that I can stand here because my Lord and Savior was triumphal upon that cross. I don't have to live in a life of shame, nor should I live in a life of pride, but I live in the grace of God Almighty. Church, pray with me. Father, we're so thankful this morning, God, that we come to Your house and these precious people get out of their beds in the morning time, oh God, and they come to the house of the Lord. God, for that I am so thankful. God, I ask You this morning, oh Lord, that You would just look over these people, oh God, that You would help them along their ways. God, people have come and they're You're dealing with their hearts, oh Father, and Lord, You just want what's best for them. Lord, You have picked out a path for us, a way that we should live our lives. Lord, the path that You have, Lord, it's narrow and it leads to the kingdom of heaven. But God, there's so many things that we do and go through along the way, oh God, to make us more like Jesus. And Lord, it's His name that we've come in this morning. And Lord, we just thank You for Jesus. Oh, we thank You, oh God, that He died for us. God, I thank You for the times, Lord, that our people have been so close. And Lord, You were able to preserve their lives. And ask them, can You hear me now? God, would You remove any obstacle in our lives? Lord, those things that trip us up and make us stumble. But Lord, may we work efficiently and do Thy will in our lives, oh God. Help us to. And Father, we thank You, God, for all that